السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين. ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها والله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are present, those who are listening or receivers, inshallah, tonight's program will be half an hour, inshallah, because Isha is now later, and mashallah, we have got brothers who have come all the way from Damet. Take them half an hour to go back home. So in consideration for them and for the time factor, we'll try and keep the program concise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial despite the limited time. Nevertheless, prior to coming to the program, I read one of Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi's advices with regards to these majalis, these dini programs. So he mentions that when we attend these kind of programs, what kind of intention should we be making? We know that innama al-a'malu bil-niyyat, intentions or actions are rather judged based on the kind of intention that is made. The person makes big intentions, Allah gives big rewards. So we should always try and make the best intentions. So he says that we should make the intention that we are going, Ya Allah, there are many, many pious people that will be attending this program. So Ya Allah, with the barakat of them, their piety, bless me with piety. So subhanallah, the person, of course, he doesn't allow any kind of pride to come into his heart. It also develops a kind of annihilation where we regard ourselves as absolutely nothing. This is one of the main lessons and asbab of tasawwuf and of this field in the khanqah. If the murid comes and he achieves everything, he makes his zikr too, he gets tahajjud too, he reads tilawat, makes tilawat of Quran Sharif, all of that is there. But if he does not annihilate himself, he has failed. He has not fulfilled the objective of the khanqah. The real objective of the khanqah is that the person must annihilate himself. Apni nafs ko bilkul mitana. The person must totally annihilate himself. He must regard himself as nothing. Then we can say that now, alhamdulillah, this person has really achieved the true essence of the khanqah and this tasawwuf. I was reading one incident in the life of Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, where he mentions his Shaykhul Hadith, that means the ustad that taught him in the final year of the Bukhari Sharif. Senior ustad, he was approximately 95 years old. He used to come on the wheelchair, very, very old. And because of his elderly age, they only allocated 1 hour a day of teaching for him. Barakatan, out of blessings, they kept him as the ustad. For 1 hour a day, he would teach. But what he would do was, later at night, around about 8 o'clock, out of his own time, every night he would teach a further 4 hours. And that 4 hours he would teach non-stop. And in one position too, he would have his hand on his chin, like this here on the wheelchair, and he would teach 4 hours non-stop. Now imagine, he was only tasked to teach for 1 hour. But he, from his own side, sacrificed a further 4 hours daily to teach the students at the age of 95. Now what a great achievement. So as Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah, he says that once he was not too well, Sheikh Al-Hadid was not too well. So I told him, Hazrat, you don't need to teach that much now, you're not well. Cut down, you know, your time. So he says, Maulvi Sahib, hum kya kare, hum dunya ke kutte hai, tankha leke padate hai. Which means that, oh Maulvi, we are the dogs of this world. We teach and we take a salary for teaching. So there's nothing wrong for the ustad to take a salary for teaching, but he regarded himself as absolutely nothing, that how can I even take that salary for teaching, for 1 hour of teaching. Yet he was teaching 4 hours extra and not taking anything for that, but he still regarded himself as absolutely nothing, as one of the dogs of this world. Imagine the Shaykh al-Hadith of such a major Darul Uloom, teaching the most senior students in the Darul Uloom, the final year students, and teaching at 95 years old. How many years he's been teaching? But look at what he regards himself. We just have to wake up one morning, tahajjud, and then we already say, we've reached there already. Why people are not realizing how much? Or as Hazrat used to say, the person read woke up one morning tahajjud namaz, and then he goes next morning in the mirror to see how much of noor came on his face. So he says, when a person attends these majalis, the intention should be that, Ya Allah, with the barakat of the people who are all attending, and mashallah, the brothers who are coming. Nobody is coming here. It's not like we're dishing out some money or something. We're standing there, whoever comes, they will get one gold coin. You get gold coin if you come for the program. Nothing. Nothing is being achieved. The person is making that suffer solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. Those, there's so much of fazilat. In the riwayat, Hazrat Wala even speaks about that. That majlis, the brothers and the sisters who gather for that program solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they gather together for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast his special rahmat and maghfirat upon that gathering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them of the mahbubin, maghfurin. Allah ta'ala forgives them. Every step that is taken towards that majlis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away some sin and writes some good deed in favor of it. So we say, but we didn't walk, we came in the car. So every revolution of the wheel, Allah Ta'ala will give a reward. What is it difficult for? Allah can measure however He wishes to measure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our coming here. And nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, the one aspect that we spoke about, and that is annihilating ourselves. Today I received a phone call, and inshallah maybe we'll speak a little bit about that after we make the zikrullah and dua and terminate. So the brother phoned and he said that, Morana, now you know we hear about the nafs, this nafs of ours, this ego of ours. Now, he said, I'm making my zikrullah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. How come, like, I'm still getting these evil temptations coming, and I'm still, you know, inclining towards evil? When will I ever reach that stage where, you know, my nafs inclines only towards good deeds? So, respected elders and brothers, with regards to this nafs, this is a, basically, when we speak about nafs, as a Maharashtra Rizal, Ta'anbir Rahmatullah, he's given a beautiful definition of the nafs, marghubat al-tab'iyyah ghayr shad'iyyah. That means all those inclinations that comes within oneself, natural inclinations, which are against Shariat. Now, a person today was a hot day, the person walked into the kitchen, and he saw a cold glass of water, or he saw some cold water. Now his desire inclined towards that. He had a desire to have that water. Now we won't say that is nafs. You're not supposed to do that. But that's nothing wrong with that. If the person took the water and drank it, no problem. But that desire which is against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be regarded as nafs. That some evil desire came in, which is against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't want to elaborate, but we're listening to music, casting lustful glances, engaging in some fraudulent transactions so that the person can earn quick money, get rich overnight. So now, those are inclinations which are against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be regarded as nafs. Now, there are three stages of the nafs. The first stage is nafs-e ammara. Allah speaks about nafs-e ammara. That nafs which keeps on pushing the person towards evil, pushing the person, it pulls him towards every sin and guna. Every sin and guna is just pulling him. But when the person makes an effort on that nafs, that every time he restrains himself, he breaks that restrains himself, he controls himself. Eventually, that nafs will become nafs al-lawwama. Allah speaks about it in the Quran Sharif, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. That is that nafs which keeps on sort of, how can we say, reprimanding the person. When the person committed some sin, then his mind is inclining towards that sin, then there's a inner discussion that takes place within himself. Then how can you do such? Can you do such a thing? This is haram. It's wrong. We can't do these things. You know you're not supposed to do. You went for the program too. The Morana spoke about this. Not permissible. Now that there's a struggle that's taking place and it's reprimanding him. Nafs al-lawwama. What we can see is that, mashallah, this person has made an effort on himself, and now his nafs has risen to a stage higher, one notch higher, where he's now reprimanding him when he's trying to commit a sin. And even after he commits a sin, the guilt keeps on haunting him. He feels bad, he feels terrible about it. And if this person continues to struggle and fight that nafs and not succumb to the evil desires of that nafs, then eventually this person will reach that stage of nafs mutmainna, where this person only finds pleasure and satisfaction in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if the thought of evil comes into him, he feels so disgusted, he feels so terrible, his entire day is spoiled. And this is the level of the Ahlullah. How did they reach that? By continuously shattering the evil desires. It's an internal thing that takes place. That every time an internal desire comes in, that's against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person shatters it, he breaks it, he destroys it into a million pieces for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he continues, and he carries on. As well as Wala Shaki Makhtar Sahib, rahmatullahi, he says, Ya Allah, in this path of love, we have taken many, many spears and arrows out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means every time shaitan threw an arrow, or there was an evil desire, the person, it was as if he took an arrow into his body and allowed that wound to bleed, but he was not prepared to violate the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That bleeding took place within himself, within himself. Everyone else was engaging in that sin, but he pulled back, he restrained himself, he stayed away. People called him names, he was labeled, but despite all of that, he continued. What happens? There's wounds that takes place. And these wounds then, of course, allows this person's nafs to rise higher until it reaches the stage of nafs mutmain. But even then too, respected elders and brothers, this nafs is such an enemy that can never ever be trusted. It can never be trusted. Even those who are Ahlullah, when they reach that stage of nafs mutmainna, they are always suspicious of their nafs. I give you an example. Our late Mu'aniz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, once he went for Umrah, so he was invited by a very wealthy Arab person. So the Arab person was so wealthy that besides all the investments that he had and the buildings that he owned and the factories that he owned, he had as an investment 200 gold bars, you know, the full gold bars. One kruger and like this. Imagine each bar now having 200. That tells you the kind of wealth this person had. So he was going on and on explaining what he has got investment in this country, and he owns a hotel in that country, and he's got this here and this whole factory is his, and he was going on and on. So Mu'aniz Sahib Rahmatullah, he just looked down at me. So he says, Sheikh, you okay? So he says, No. I was just checking my nafs to see whether I'm becoming jealous of the wealth that you have. See, the Ahlullah, they reach these high maqamat, but they are never ever satisfied, or so to say, they never ever lose that caution with regards to, they're always suspicious about their nafs. So he checked himself to see if there was any, you know, jealousy coming in. So he said, Alhamdulillah, no jealousy came. I make dua, Allah gives you more barakah. And he told him, but I also got quite a few investments. I come here and made a lot of investment. So Sheikh, where you made investment? Here, the one businessman is earning a lot, but in years there's more opportunity of profit there, and he also will try. Allah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if the son of Adam has one valley of gold, he will desire the second valley. And if he has two valleys of gold, he will desire four. وَلَيْ يَمْلَ أَفَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ. That Ibn Adam will never ever become satiated and satisfied. Person will always want more and more and more. The only thing that will satisfy that person will be the sand of the grave. The sand of the grave. Meaning this person, when he dies, then that is it. With regards to this point of becoming infatuated and getting caught up and dazzled by the glitter and the glamour of this world, respected elders and brothers, is a very, very easy antibiotic. Allah Ta'ala reward the mashayikh. Sometimes they give us a simple prescription, very simple. You know, like you go to the doctor, the person has got high fever. So the doctor gives just one injection and the person is back to work. Finish, all gone, disappears. So the mashayikh also have given us one simple little injection. The person now is getting infatuated by the glitter and the glamour of this world, or the cars, or the cell phones, or the watches, or whatever it may be. A simple little antidote and antibiotic. Just close your eyes and just imagine the angel of death strikes and the person passes away there. Then ask yourself the question that this car here, and even if I get this car, and if I get this house, and if I get this cell phone, and if I get this expensive watch, an exquisite watch, or this priceless shoes, when I die, will it go into the grave with me? Will I take the cell phone with me into the grave with all those new applications? Will I be able to use it in the grave? The person in the expensive car and all the modifications that he's done on the car. So when he goes in the grave, will that car help him? Voila. Either they'll sell the car to, or it'll be passed on to someone else. That house that he built, mansion, everybody say, wow, what a beautiful house. The person built this and got the most expensive tiles, and he got the best carpenter, and he got the downlights, and he got this kind of windows, and he's got, you know, what. Nothing wrong with building a nice, good house. But we're talking about when the person gets so attached to these things. And then suddenly what happens? The person dies. One hole is dug. Is put inside that hole, and now for maybe 100, 200, 300 years till Qiyamah, that will be the person's home. He only lived in that home for 20 years. The home that he built, he only lived there for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years maybe. But that home in the grave, there he's going to live for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. So that is the antibiotic. That whenever a person is getting infatuated, that car is looking very, very nice. Tell yourself, why? Malakul Maut strike for this. Nothing. Everything will be left behind. So that's all. Just that much. It doesn't mean the person can't drive a nice car. And doesn't it mean a person mustn't look after his car? And now he must allow the car to be rusted and the doors are falling out. You say, no, it's nothing. Mustn't worry about all of this. We're going to. No, person must. Inna Allah Ta'ala jameelun yuhibbul jamal. One Sahabi came to Nabi Kareem, and said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I like to look at myself in the mirror and make myself presentable. Is this not pride? Nabi Kareem said, no, this is not pride. Inna Allah Ta'ala jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah Ta'ala is beautiful. Allah loves beauty. So you must make yourself presentable. Some people feel that when they become pious, when they come to the mashayikh and they become pious, so now dunya kulat maru, must kick dunya one side. So now the person doesn't even comb his hair too. One color sock here, another color sock that side. Doesn't maintain his house too. Half the gutters are falling apart, everything. No, we don't worry about dunya. Finish. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that we must be presentable. The person's home must be neat. In fact, the person who brings the sifat of kamal within himself, the person who he perfects his akhlaq and his character, then you will find that perfection in all aspects. In every single aspect. Our late Maulana Pirzadeh Rahmatullah, those who saw him, he was immaculate. You wouldn't find a single spot on his clothing. His socks would be matching the kurta would be matching the topi, the shoes too were even white. You wouldn't even find dirt on his vehicle. His house was spotless. What happens when the person polishes his heart, then he likes cleanliness all around him. At-tuhuru shatru al-iman. Cleanliness is part and parcel and half of iman. So a mu'min must be clean, he must be presentable. That is a separate aspect. But we're talking about the person having his heart attached to that vehicle. The person may be driving the most expensive vehicle, but his heart is not there. His heart is not, Allah, you gave me this vehicle, tomorrow I have to leave it behind. Nothing. Finish. End of story. Like the example we've given previously, the person had a very expensive car, his heart was attached to it. So the little child came, took a rusted nail and scraped the whole vehicle for one whole side. The father was furious. So furious, he took that little child and he scraped the hand with that rusted nail. As a result, it became septic. They had to amputate the arm. So the child came to the father and said, "Oh father, I promise I wouldn't scratch your car, but please give my arm back." What happened there? You see, when the person's heart becomes so attached to them, then when some damage takes place, it's like you actually scraped his heart. Because his heart was in the car. His heart was so attached to him. Our attachment should be very mild. Like how the envelope, when we seal it, you can open it again. There is an attachment. Person will feel it. The car went. Okay, he feels it. It was a nice car. It was a good, reliable vehicle. He misses it. But nothing. Finish. Now Allah will give something else. Something else. Something else. So, this is the aspect of dunya. Do not allow the glitter and the glamour of this dunya to dazzle us. Remember that we have to leave everything behind. Everything will be left behind. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, with these few words, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these sifat and qualities, qualities of akhlaq, qualities of being independent. One of the very important lessons which we have been highlighting in this month of Muharram, in the various talks that we have been given, that we know the Sahaba ikram when they made hijrah from Makkah to Mukarramah to Madinah to Munawwara, so they came and the Ansar were there to help them. The Ansar were the people of Madinah to Munawwara. They said, "Listen, half the wealth we give it to you." But what did the Muhajirin do? The Muhajirin said, "No, no, look, we will take your support for a little while, but you show us where's the marketplace. You show us where's the marketplace, we will go and earn." Independence. We must always learn to be independent of others. Otherwise, the person will always be waiting for someone to give him. A mu'min should always be independent. Learn to be independent. Remember that we maybe it is difficult for us to increase our income, but our expenditure is within our control. The person can cut down on his expenses and budget himself. Otherwise, what will happen is every time the person has to go and ask for give this to me, and I want that too, and then give me this here also, and give me that. That person only knows how to take and take and take. This is not the lesson that we are taught by the Muhajirin of Makkah al-Mukarramah. The lesson of independence. That immediately they took little support from the people of Ansar, from Medina to Munawwara, and then immediately they got back on their feet and they were independent. So this is a very, very important lesson that we should learn. If we have any need, إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. That when you have a need, first ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make some intizam, cut down, make some sacrifices. And then try and fulfill your need. And yes, then if it still cannot be fulfilled despite all of that, then if you have to go and take a loan from someone, then take a loan. But don't keep on asking. Take a loan, say, "Can you give me a loan and I'll pay in 3 months' time?" 3 months' time, you pay the person. You try your best to pay him. And if you can't pay in 3 months, take another loan from someone else and pay that person quickly so that he is paid timelessly. Must not allow the people to wait for the money. This is a very important lesson as mu'mineen and muslimin, a lesson of independence. A salik, a person who is in this field of suluk, he must learn to be independent and he must learn to have his nazar on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this quality of independence too, with the quality of not attaching our hearts to dunya. And the third important lesson is the lesson of fana'iyat, annihilating ourselves. Annihilating ourselves. And part of annihilating ourselves is that we submit our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I am absolutely nothing. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for me, that is the best for me. I was not even deserving this. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullahi, one of his senior khalifas, Maharishi Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi. He was also a Sheikh al-Hadith of high caliber. So he put his hand in the hand of Haji, so Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, rather. So when he put his hand, Islah started taking place. So Haji Sahib wanted to test now the murid. So he invited everyone. And there was kebab and roti that was being given as the meal. So everybody was given plates. So he said, send Maulana Rashid Sahib here. So they sent him there, he said, give me your hand here. Give me your hand. So he gave him his hand, he took one roti, put it in his hand, and he put the kebab in his hand like. He was testing him. If the Sheikh had to do that to us, so we say, check this guy. You can't even give me a plate. I came here, he's giving everyone else plates, he doesn't give me a plate. He doesn't know I'm a Sheikh al-Adi. That's what we'll say. Allahu Akbar. Maharishi Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi, such fanaiyat took place that he went one side, he sat down and he started crying. He said, Ya Allah, today my Sheikh, he fed me with his own hands. He put the roti in my hand with his own hands. I didn't even deserve this. I did not even deserve this. And he put the roti in my hand and gave me the food. This is the thing, respected elders and brothers. This is the real essence and crux of tasawwuf. When the person makes fana of himself, then he gets baqa. And this is why Allah took so much of work from them. Because they thought nothing of themselves. Allah Ta'ala then preserved their name, that today we are taking their name in this majma, yet they passed away hundreds of years ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with these beautiful sifat. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين مثل ذكر الله إن شاء الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد
لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين Oh Kareem Allah, Rahim Allah, most forgiving, loving, caring Allah. Ya Allah, accept our gathering here tonight, Ya Allah. Brothers have come from far and wide, Ya Allah. They have come only and solely for your pleasure, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, they have come with good intentions, Ya Allah. Grant them much, much more, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless them all with your mahabbat and ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Make them all amongst your Ahlullah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, sabku musaffa, mujalla, muzakka lil ata farma. Grant them all pure hearts, Ya Allah. Hayati awliya, hayati atqiya, hayati asfiya, nasif farma, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us of the Ahlullah, Ya Allah. Make us reach the heights of wilayat, Ya Allah. Amen. Forgive all our sins, major and minor, those which you committed knowingly, unknowingly, light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us the tawfiq to make fana of ourselves, Ya Allah. Let us regard ourselves as absolutely nothing, Ya Allah. O Allah, it is only you who created us, Ya Allah. Had you not created us, Ya Allah, we would have been a non-entity, non-existent, Ya Allah. O Allah, everything we have is nothing but your fazal and your karam, Ya Allah. O Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. We are ill, spiritually ill, Ya Allah. O Allah, those who are physically sick, spiritually ill, grant them all shifa, Ya Allah. O Allah, in marna ya akhir mawt, we have to leave this world one day, Ya Allah. When the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Madina Sharif, Ya Allah, in Rawdah al-Mubarak of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salatu wa s-salamu alayka, Ya Rasool Allah. لیکن اگر مقدر نہیں ہے تو جہاں بھی ہو یا اللہ برکت والی موت عطا فرما whatever it may be let it be a death of برکت یا اللہ oh Allah you are well aware the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you fulfill یا اللہ all their good desires and aspirations whatever difficulty pain تکلیف challenge یا اللہ depression sadness they are going through یا اللہ remove it alleviate it یا اللہ بفضلك وجودك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله